The punya of overthrowing Napoleon was divided between England, Germany and Russia. He had to be overthrown because though he prepared the future and destroyed the past, he misused the present. To save the present from his violent hands was the work of his enemies. And this merit gave to these three countries a great immediate development and the possession of the 19th century. England and Germany went farthest because they acted most wholeheartedly and as nations, not as governments. In Russia, it was the government that acted, but with the help of the people. On the other hand, the countries sympathetic to Napoleon, Italy, Ireland, Poland, or those which acted weakly or falsely, such as Spain and Austria, have declined, suffered, struggled, and even when partially successful, could not attain their fulfillment. But the punya is now exhausted. The future with which the victorious nations made a temporary compromise, the future which Napoleon served and prepared its early movements, demands possession. And those who can reorganize themselves most swiftly and perfectly under its pressure will inherit the 20th century. Those who deny it will perish. The first offer is made to the nations in present possession. It is withheld for a time from the others. That is the reason why socialism is most insistent now in England, Germany and Russia. But in all these countries, it is faced by an obstinate and unprincipled opposition. The early decades of the 20th century will select the chosen nations of the future. There remains the question of nationalism and empire. It is put to all the nations, but chiefly to England. It is put to her in Ireland, in Egypt, in India. She has the best opportunity of harmonizing the conflicting claims of nationalism and empire. In fighting against nationalism, she is fighting against her own chance of a future, and her temporary victory over Indian nationalism is the one thing her guardian spirits have most to fear. For the recoil will be as tremendous as the recoil that overthrew Napoleon. The delusion that the despotic possession of India is indispensable to a retention of empire may be her undoing. It is indispensable to her if she mediates, like Napoleon, the conquest of Asia and of the world. It is not necessary to her imperial self-fulfillment, for even without India, she would possess an empire greater than the Roman. Her true position in India is that of a trustee and temporary guardian. Her only wise and righteous policy, the devolution of her trust upon her ward with a view to alliance, not over ownership. The opportunity of which Napoleon dreamed, a great Indian empire, has been conceded to her and not to Napoleon. But that opportunity is a two-edged weapon, which if misused, is likely to turn upon and slay the wielder. Now, this is a small article Sri Aurobindo wrote called Historical Impressions. I think it is in volume 16 or 17, one of these two volumes. He has written there, like this, also analysis of Robespierre, Danton, Mirabeau, the whole French Revolution. It's a wonderful exposition of the French Revolution, very briefly. This is the way in which vibhutis are to be seen and perceived.